The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter.
Hello.
And Paddy's back. Welcome back, Pad.
Yes, hello, Paddy.
Now, the funny thing was, Paddy was arrested for pumping up the market, right? And he was locked away. The market fell down. And he said, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. Let him out. And the market's gone back up. Yeah. It was Paddy pumping the market afterwards.
Yeah.
So we could go out in the end, Pad. It's a good thing. It's nice to have you back, fella. But what was it like? What was prison food like? I know you're making porridge now, because you said, can I make porridge while Steve comes online? So you've got used to porridge already, have you?
I've never minded prison. It's always been fine every time I've been.
Yeah. Well, some people say home from home, you know. Some people enjoy that sort of stuff, you know.
So, yeah, you haven't got to worry about the tone of the heating on. It's just always warm.
But tell me, did you get access to the market? So obviously you didn't have limited access because you couldn't pump it. But did you keep an eye on the stock market at all?
Oh, yeah, I had a phone.
Oh, that's all
I mean, you had to keep it away from the guards and that. But, it was fine.
Yeah, you've got to stick him in.
It's not been great, is it, the last few weeks?
No, it's been hard work, isn't it? Do you know what? I was saying that I lost, I didn't lose, but the portfolio goes up and down, isn't it? That's what it's like. That's why they call it risk. It's volatility, really, isn't it? It's not risk. Because, you know, stocks you're in, if you're half decent, if you've got some half decent stocks, they're not going to go bust. But they will go up and down. Some people, you know, find that hard work. It is a bit of hard work, isn't it? Emotionally, it's a little bit of, you know, and that's when people sell the wrong time when it's going down. They don't sell now because it's cyclical. It's like it goes round, up and down, you know, and I think we're set up for a nice little rally into the reopening, you know. But
it was like the second or third sell-off over the last year.
Yeah.
And obviously Steve predicted this a few weeks ago when he said that his portfolio was at an all-time high.
Yeah.
I think maybe next time my portfolio hits an all-time high, I'll just sell the whole lot and just wait for the next
crash. No. We talk about this. Time in the market is better than time in the market, because you can have a little dip. You don't know what big dips or small dips. And also, Pad, I did point out yesterday, I actually wrote a blog on it. In fact, it's one of the first blogs I ever wrote, and that was the start of the podcast, which was like, sort of 6 years ago on sharepickers.com. And it was about how the big up days are very close to the big down days. So if you sell out, obviously you don't know where the top is, but if you sell out and you have a down day, you'll miss a big up day. And over time, that return it counts for a lot. It's quite significant. And if you miss something, 10 of the best days over 10 years, it's a massive loss to your portfolio. And even 5 of the best days, you miss those as well. And they are...
Okay, well, maybe not sell the whole lot, but I don't feel I've taken advantage of any of these opportunities. So maybe I need to have a think about that situation when my portfolio starts to look a little bit toppy next time.
Trimming
a little bit, putting a little bit into cash.
You be careful, mind, because that's dirty trader territory. You know, you're dirty
trader. That is dirty trader, yeah.
That is, you're becoming, you know, you've got the genes of a dirty trader there, Pad. And
that's always going to be my way.
It doesn't have to be a way, because if you start doing that, honestly, it's a false economy. You can't time the market. So, but if you could, you'd be a billionaire already. You know, if you had this innate sense in you that you could time the market, it's all well and good. It's the psychology of the market. That's it, you see. Buy low, sell high, it's very hard. Because when you're high, everyone thinks it's going higher. Everyone, even the shoeshine boy. You know, you say, hey, how's the market day, Mr. Buffy? You know, I'm buffing your shoes. And, everyone's bullish that it's going higher. And the thing is, when everyone's fearful, they're all selling, but they're not buying, generally. If you could do that, you would have bought the Dash for Cash crash back in March 2020. When did you see that? Russ Mould on the podcast yesterday, and of the FTSE 350, so 350 stocks, only 11 stocks are not higher now than they were back in March 2020. And some of those have gone up and come back down anyway, those ones. But if you bought the fear, fear is your friend. When in actual fact,
what were we thinking? It's just mental. You should have seen that. Why were we not taking advantage of that?
Hindsight, see. Oh, interesting.
Well, it wasn't the stock market was going to sell off, and it was always like, surely, I know we were scared and we didn't know what was going on, but like, it was always going to return.
I had cash though. I was in cash, but at the time, it was falling so fast. I did top up my fund that I had at the time. I was topping up. I had about 50, 60% cash, and I should have gone more, I thought now, but I was waiting for it. Didn't think the pandemic was going to happen, but there was bond signals, all this, and things were happening, and things are flashing red. It was a warning, which was very odd. So yeah, but even at the time though, I'd never seen anything that was the fastest sell-off. We've gone through, Pat. You've experienced the fastest market sell-off ever. Now that's a claim to fame. You're still in the market, and do you know what? Now your portfolio's in profit, isn't it?
Yeah.
There we are. Yeah. See, so.
But going back to that, the dash for cash, I didn't have a huge amount of cash. That's where I wasn't able to take advantage. So what I did do is get out of a couple of funds that had collapsed, and then put it into smaller cap stocks and recovered that way. So I don't think I don't feel I missed. I missed because I didn't have a huge cash reserve. But what are you going to do?
Yeah,
like the dash for cash. That's the point of the dash for cash. It'd be really quick and cash in.
Yeah,
would be a really risky game.
I did that. It's a good stock clear out, you know. And I've trimmed down my PORF, and I've got mm-hmm. It decluttered my hello, Steve, keeping it local, Steve. Steve said last night on the WhatsApp group, I'm going to be drinking because you need to bring. I'm going to be drinking tonight, so you need to read me tomorrow because I'm needed to wake me. So it took
good impression.
It took more than a few rings, Steve. You said, give us a few rings. Ring me a few times to get up, but it's taken a long time. Did you have a big drink last night?
Yeah, do you know what? Funny enough, I've actually been sat here dreaming about my phone vibrating for the last 10 minutes.
What a dream. What a dream that is. Yeah.
And funny enough, it was actually doing that, so, yeah.
But you're sat dreaming. Do you sit down for sleep, do you?
I do, yes, yeah.
What a creative mind you've got, Steve, just thinking of a phone vibrating. It's an amazing dream you had there, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you know what, though, Steve? Are you celebrating because the Welsh have been unlocked from lockdown? Do you see Mark Drakeford yesterday? Do you see him? It was brilliant.
Do you know what? I've not actually seen, but from what I've heard from my friends, apparently it's not really an unlock at all.
Well, no, the thing is, it's going to the hairdresser and meeting friends in a garden are all set to become legal again in Wales. The Welsh government is relaxing lockdown rules with stay-at-home rules being replaced, required to stay local. Do you see Mark Drakeford? The word local in Welsh is brilliant. He said, the most important thing, stay local, right? If you don't live local, live local. Move locally, stay local, all right? If you want your haircut, get it done locally on the top of your head. But if you want to go in the garden with your friends, keep it local. They can use the loo, but they have to have a number two, but keep it local, right? Keep it all local. Whatever you're doing, number twos, number ones, okay. Keep it local in the local garden. Keep it locally, right? Everything's local, right? And now, no lockdown, just local, right? Yeah. And he said local.
Is that the other date? Is that what happened pretty much yesterday?
Mm. Yeah,
pretty much. He used the word local. I was focused on the word local, and I couldn't tune it out. And he kept saying, everything's local, right? Unless it's not local, but keep it local, yeah? So if you're not living local, move.
Yes. So, if your house is not local.
Yeah. Is your house local? Is the next neighbour local? Is your friend local? If they are local, you can talk to them. All right, if they're in the garden, you can have a drink locally. They can use the toilet inside once. What? They didn't say that. You can use the loo, all right? But it's got to be local. am I going nuts? Is he saying the word local quite a lot?
I might go to Wales for a haircut.
It's not local, Paddy. Oh, it is when you're there, mind. So once you're there, it's fine.
Local's a very subjective thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I'm always local. It was reminding me of that joke Paul Merton said years ago. He said, do you know what? Stats are, probably 9 in 10 car accidents happen close to your home. So I moved. I know. But keep it local, yeah? Right, lovely. And I thought, he's going insane, that bloke. But so, Steve, when you drank last night, you kept it local, yeah?
Yeah, you watch the cases, like, go out of control.
Pardon?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. See you next week, Steve. Thanks for coming in.
You watch the cases go out of control.
Has he been struck down by the virus?
Steve, do you mean mid-sentence there? Do you say anything else apart from that? What have you
done?
Steve, are you still there?
Yeah, I realise I probably should have elaborated on that a bit.
Wait, are you saying that people are not keeping it local and that you reckon the incidence of virus infection would increase?
I don't really know, to be honest.
And over to our medical correspondent, Steve. I don't know, to be honest.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I'm a bit confused this morning.
I know, Steve thought about engaging his brain for a second, then he thought, no, I'm, you know what, it's not really working. I can't get into first gear. Put the clutch in, Steve.
Yeah. I much prefer it when I was just sat dreaming about a phone by this. This is too hard work, having to think and stuff.
Paddy, I'm glad you're back.
Oh, that's good. That was brilliant, Steve. See, we couldn't do it without Steve. You know, we had to wait for Steve to start. But anyway, we're just talking about the market, how volatile it was. Paddy's thinking of selling at the top and buying at the bottom because that's easy. But that's what you're saying, isn't it, Paddy? I mean,
maybe we should have like a little second pot to take advantage of some of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
That just doesn't get used for other things.
But he said, Steve, he's going to use you as a litmus test. Whenever you say now, my portfolio is an all-time high, he's going to sell some of his stocks.
Steve is my shoeshine boy.
Yeah, Steve the shoeshine boy. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. When we said that, didn't I? So it's quite worrying. Every week, your portfolio is at a new all-time high. Now, I lost... Escape Hunt did very well, so I got a big chunk in there yesterday. So I'm back to pretty much close to my all-time highs again. And in the last 2 weeks, it's gone down. A percentage drop in Escape Hunt for me now is 10 grand. So if it drops 10%, that's 100 grand. That's how much it moves.
So eye-watering.
So last 2 weeks, you know, even the whole portfolio's dropped down a bit, didn't it? But it's come back now. It's almost back to what it was. And I think we're going higher. I think that we've had the sell-off correction. People are back in. That's why it's hard to time the market. Would you have timed this, pad? In the last 2 weeks, would you have sold out the top and then got back in now?
Yeah. I wouldn't know.
Confidence. That's what I like.
There's very little point in like looking at hindsight and all that, except to try and learn. But I don't like take Escape Hunt for example. Just you wouldn't have if you had gone for cash, dash for cash, and you know, invested heavily then into different stocks, not Escape Hunt because that was on the radar then. You wouldn't have had the money to put into Escape Hunt, and then you wouldn't be in this position with Escape Hunt. So. Do you see? So I think I'm just trying to be philosophical, I think, but yeah, I don't think I've particularly missed. You can look back and go, oh, we all missed out. We should have invested loads last March. Well, I didn't have a huge amount of cash to invest, but also, like I say, I've invested in other things. Like I wouldn't have had money to put in Gfinity later in the year if I had put money in something.
Yeah. And maybe in 6 months' time, the investment I made in on the market will look like one of those. Right now, it just looks a little bit flat.
Well, do you know what? Is it a bit like, use an analogy, right?
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Strap in.
Thing is, like I said, that dash for cash, right, helped me a bit. So I cleaned up my portfolio. I'm now a bit more strict, you know. And every time there's a sell-off, it's nothing like a sell-off to make you re-look at your stocks or reshuffle something. When this portfolio is flying along, you're a bit blasé about everything, you know? But it takes that kind of sell-off to, you know, clean the house, you know. Imagine the Titanic now, right? It's sailing along nicely, right? Everyone's the music's playing, the little band, everyone's dressed up for dinner, and when you say, right, I'm going to jump overboard and get a boat straight away now, why? Because I think we're going to crash. So, no, what are you talking about? This boat can't sink. What are you talking about? See ya! You jump in a lifeboat and roll it down, you're off, right? Right. And then you're sailing out, you think, hang on, well, the boat's okay, so the Titanic's still sailing. Is everything happened there? Maybe I'll go back. No, hang on. No, I'll stay where I am. Then you saw an iceberg, and everyone rushes for the rafts, and everyone jumps off.
And you've nicked one of the 30 man lifeboats.
Yeah, and I'm on my own. See, I told you, didn't I? But they can't hear you. They can't hear you. They thought you were mad anyway. They can't really hear you. They thought you were mad going on your own. But everyone else rushing. Now, if you get into a lifeboat, you're fine, right? I don't think it's obviously the Titanic is a bit more jeopardy there and less chance of success because no one really died in the dash for cash, I don't think. But, well, maybe they did, but I don't know who. But you know what I'm saying? So what you're saying is it have the party, you know, enjoy the party, and then if it starts to go wrong, get out. It's fine. You've got plenty of time.
Continue that analogy. We just need to like be building a little lifeboat of our own just on the side.
Well, maybe we should have said, listen, if it goes wrong, have we got enough lifeboats? That's what we, and that's a, you know, I don't know what how you work that into a portfolio scenario, but with the Titanic, there was enough lifeboats. But let's say there are enough lifeboats. Enjoy the party. There's plenty of lifeboats. It's fine. You're all right. It's going to be fine. We've been through this before. You know, I've had. It's like
Steve, you awake?
Yeah, I'm still here. Right.
You sounded like you were snoring then.
Yeah. What is that, Steve? I thought that analogy was quite good. Steve's snoring in the background.
Yeah, sorry.
But you know what I'm saying, though? I was in cash, a decent amount of cash back then, but I got in more cash and I did wait until the fall happened. So what are you saying? Wait until the first signs happen, then start making a move, maybe, rather than trying to be Mr. Foresight?
Yeah. But, okay, then now looking forward, we've hit the iceberg of COVID. What are we going to have a plan now for a potential other iceberg? So
October.
Have we got what?
October be the next, bit in the summer, but October be the next sell-off.
What, third wave or?
No, October be the next, no, I don't think we'll have a third wave now of lockdowns because the people...
Cases are going to go up, though. No,
cases are going up, but hospital admissions won't, though, too much.
Yeah,
right. There'll be people, inoculated now. Those 80% of the beds were taken up by over 80s. They've all been, they've all had the jab, haven't they? So, what I'm saying is, the market will rally on optimism of the reopen, okay? And we'll have that now for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Darth Vader, can you just keep it quiet?
Yes, Darth, who is that?
Yeah, Mr. Vader. Excuse me, Mr. Vader.
I didn't invite Darth Vader onto the podcast, did I?
I apologise. I've got quite bad hay fever at the moment. So I've got my sinuses are quite blocked, so...
Where are you putting the microphone?
In your mouth.
Take that mask off, Steve. For heaven's sake, it's not going to help. Yeah. Hay fever. It's a Darth Vader hay fever mask. put it over his head, fine. It cuts out all hay fever. He's giving it a try, Steve. It's a smart mask. Works with the door. It syncs with the door. So I don't know. No, October normally traditionally to sell off. Yeah, I think we'll have
the point I'm saying that the third or the next iceberg. Should there be things we do now in preparation? Like, should we always have 10% cash? A little nest egg that we just hold on the side just for these eventualities, just in case there is something like this. I know it was a unique event, the Dash for Cash, but it could happen again. And should we have something in reserve? I don't know.
Yes. Well, do you know what? When you're in the middle of the market or the top of the market, yes. The more we go to the top, have a bit more cash, maybe you're right, Pad. But I think now it's inefficient to have anything more than like... there's no point having more than 40% cash, really, because you can't. I mean, yeah.
Maybe just psychologically be thinking, right. So my biggest holding at the moment is Polarian or Escape Hunt. Mm-hmm. So like if psychologically, 25% of one of those is going to stay there, but is also available to be sold to invest in something else at another point, then that's maybe the way to think about it.
Yeah, but what I'd say, though, is look at... I've looked at this a lot with the Share Investment Club, about the video on diversity. And diversity... So if you're going to... Be careful about diluting your stocks, especially if you've got a smaller pot. If you want to make good money, you have to have a few stocks. But it's more risky, but that's why I have to do a bit more research. So if you... There's no point... I think if you really want to make a decent chunk of money and your portfolio of value is below, say, 30 grand... Right, you need to have five stocks or less, and that's and in fact, maybe if you want a bit of diversity, buy a fund as well. Maximum five stocks because you need to get some decent returns there to build it up. And that's the thing. The hardest thing about investing, right, is the start. When you start off, you've got a limited. Well, everyone's got a limited pot, but if the pot is smaller, and you have to take a bit more risk, and yet you're not equipped, experience-wise, to take that risk. So make sure, and that's why I do it. I do cover these on videos and stuff. I say, listen, you have to take a bit more risk, but there are certain things you can do, look at, to bring down that risk. And I mean, avoiding certain sectors. Make sure the company's got cash. Make sure it's not in a dodgy jurisdiction. Make sure the share price hasn't risen quickly recently. Those kind of things, reduces the side of risk to the point where it's not a gamble. It's odds on rather than odds against. And so you've just got to be careful, but you can do it. Like I mean, do you know what? A good example. Predator Oil and Gas.
Yes.
It's a pop and drop resource stock.
Wow. Well, hold on.
Doing lots of popping though, isn't it?
It's
been able to drop in for a long time, hasn't it? That's on the chart. But no, I did really well on that stuff when it first came out, right? And I talked to Paul on the podcast, and it was literally a 2 million market cap. I think it was 2.9. They had I think half of that was in cash. And in times like that, and it was new to the market, story wasn't out there, I thought, this is a surefire, nailed-on bagger.
And yeah, we did well out of it, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I bought like two pence at that, and literally went to 10 pence, didn't it? And it went nuts with the chart.
That was transformative for my
portfolio. We always did very well at that, I think, from what I remember.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did. I at the time, I think I chucked about 30, 40 grand in there.
Have you swallowed your phone, Steve?
Mm. He's Darth, his new mask.
Yeah, easy Darth.
And that was back in, what, 2018?
Yeah.
2018, I look at the chart, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so I did very well at that. Times like that, I had the same thing with escapements, though. You know, every time, when the share price is low and the market valuation is very low and they've got cash, I think, hang on a sec, there's very little downside here. There's obviously a little bit of volatility, but those opportunities come around every now and again. I saw it with Gfinity and, you know, they've just raised cash, and that's a very good time. And I talk about that as well. And think when you see a company just raising cash, that there should be a white flag to you saying, hello, if you're a small cap stock and it's a decent business or can be, it's in a hot sector and they've just raised cash. That's one of the safest times, you know, it's a bit of churn because people have been selling, but it's one of the safest times to look at a company, start researching and then maybe invest because they've got the cash, the runway. And if that cash is enough to take them to break even or profitability like it is with Escape and Gfinity, it's sustained. It's not pop and drop. Now, the trouble with, I don't know much about, Predator anymore at the moment because they've got different operations, but they've raised some cash. And I said to Steve, Pete, you still had some in there. I said, careful, pop and drop, mind. He said, don't mind, I got a stop loss in there. And they came out with them with a fundraise, a diluted fundraise, didn't they? For 10 pence, is it 13 pence? It was. We were WhatsApping with this the next morning, we did a 10 pence fundraise, it's a bit of a drop.
Yeah, but it didn't drop anywhere near that. And my stop loss triggered and I've sold like half of the remaining holding I had. But just to remind you, that was a free carry from like the time you're talking about when 2018, we all made decent profit and like you all got out. I just held a small holding just to and it's been, bumbling along the bottom ever since. And now it's spiked back up. The stop loss is triggered this week because of that slight drop on the placing announcement. So I've got less, I've still got a holding now.
Let me ask you a question, though. Look at me. I'm looking at two previous spikes. The one we were in, first of all, and then it went up again. It went up to 10 pence, first of all. Then it came back down to sort of 6, 7, and then it went back up to 12. That was in the mid-2019. Then from there, at 12 pounds, it went 13 pence, right? Basically, exactly the same spike as just now. It went all the way back down to 2 pence, right? Yep. And you held all the way through that.
Yeah, but a much reduced holding, obviously, and I'd taken profit. So, like I say, it's a free carry. But yes, that value disappeared and now has regenerated, if you like, hasn't it?
Wow. Yeah. Well, right. It's almost like what they do with the oil, isn't it? Like you've pumped some, is it carbon dioxide into your hole? And
well, that's what Predator
now.
So where are they now? What I'm saying now, are they at the level, they've just raised some cash, Steve, is it sustainable? Steve, go on mute a second, Steve. Can you do? Is it how close to your mouth is the mic, Steve? Because we're hearing this.
Luke, I am your father.
Right, okay, I'll put mute on for a bit.
Oh, that's nice. It's like someone shut the windows of a car at 70 miles an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can think clearly now.
But listen, I know it was getting louder and louder. That was Steve. But listen, what I'm saying is now. Are they at the level, the cash they've just raised, will that take them to generating some cash?
I honestly don't know. And to be honest, I'm not really paying too much attention to that story.
No, but that's the thing, see? Otherwise, it's going to be a bit of a volatile ride again, because that share price will grind lower unless they're doing some news out that's transformational, or they're going towards raising some money, or they're going to... going to be generating cash, so I don't know.
I'll put another stop loss in now, and let's just ride it. I'm not that bothered. You know, it's a win-win for me. If it drops to like 10p and I put a stop loss in there now, and it takes, that's still just profit. Yes, I could have sold at 12p, whatever, splitting hairs. But then equally, if it goes to 20p for whatever reason, then I'll be even more happy when I and take profit then. So I don't see the problem with doing that, and. I'm quite happy with that.
Okay. Well, no, what I'm saying is, I know they've got the Morocco going on. There's some, I'm looking here, drilling underway there. And there's also Trinidad and Ireland. Ireland's a very high impact. But this is now, it's now 23 odd million, 25 million market cap. As it gets bigger, it'll move less.
Now, 28,
yeah. So as it gets bigger, it'll move less. And of course, when we first got into it, it was 2 million, it was 3 million market cap. So 10 times that now.
But okay, so here's the thing. I could have sold out at 3 or 4p, you know, a couple of months ago, and it would be like, oh man, I'd be now sat here going.
But now's the time to take your money, isn't it? Now's the time. Now's the time, really.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I've done, isn't it? But like, I've taken the emotion out of it by having a stop loss in there. That just triggered and happened without me having to think about it. And I'll put another stop loss in now, like I say, a bit further down, perhaps, and to soak up any dip so it doesn't or just sell.
Will that second stop loss be a sellout call, Pete? Or?
Yes, it will now, yeah, because it's not worth, now the holding I've got, it's probably not worth really persevering and trimming.
There's people shouting, I know some people follow Predator, some people shouting at the thing now, so you don't know anything about Predator oil and gas, it's going to be huge! It's going to be massive!
I think it could be. Now, my other oil and gas stock is United Oil and Gas, and I haven't sold a bean, and I'm going to hold on to that.
You can't sell beans on the stock market, Pete.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore, Pete. That's gone.
Yeah, that's the old days.
I sold my cow and I got some beans for it.
And
they said that I could sell it in the stock. No? Oh.
But no, hang on. So you're on gas. I think they've got a bit more cash flow going on, hasn't they?
Yeah, they've become a producer and explorer now. And there's been quite a bit of PR stuff going on around and Brian this week and stuff. Worth checking out. I know you're not going to invest, but I think that's a really interesting story. I think there's plenty more there to run. And I know Steve's still in it. Well, I'm Steve.
A bit of diversity, isn't it, Pete? That's what we want.
Exactly. And just hold on there and just see where... I can't see the downside of holding on there, really, for now.
You will when it drops off a cliff.
Well-funded. They've got... Anyway, I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to convince you.
Listen. Predator on gas could go to the moon. You know, I mean, United Oil and Gas goes to the moon.
Oil on the moon.
What I'm saying is this.
That'll be expensive. They'll need a placing before they do that.
They're selling beans on the moon. That's not going to work. Right. No, listen. What I'm saying is they could both do very, very well.
Yes.
I don't know enough about them, but you've got to have a strategy. Doesn't fit my strategy. Because what is your strategy then? Well, not losing money. No. Listen, I'm looking for sustainable, long-term growth plays. That is it. Oil and gas. I know oil will be, you know, still growing for a couple of years still, the demand, especially in the next... In fact, we said about this a while back. We said oil is due a rise, due a pop, the reopening of the economy.
That's so why I've held on to these two stocks.
Having a bit of oil in the portfolio is good for you, a bit of diversity. And in fact, you could have done very well if you'd, you know, been patient then, hung on then, topped up with a play like oil and gas, like Predator, and you know.
Yeah.
But it's just not my thing. It's like, is it a long-term trend? No, it's not. What's the trend it's going to do now longer? Electric vehicles or electrification or oil? You know?
Yeah, of course.
Discovering drugs through...
Yeah, but I think I've certainly gone from minus 50% in the hole to 20% plus, so, you know.
Is it a case? Well, this is the thing, is that you are proving the case for, like, holding on. Don't worry. As long as it's not a really bad, fraudulent company or something, as long as the company is decent, it's got operations, then you can hold on. Because sooner or later, and I feel this sometimes, it will pop. You know, most stocks, small cap stocks, will pop sooner or later. So it's just, your timing may be off. And it's hard to time the market. But
it's very hard to time the market. This is the thing, isn't it? So you can look back at the chart. And like I said, I could have sold out a couple of months ago and went, right, no, I'll take all that money out of that and I'm going to put it in, you know, Brand Shield or something, you know. Yeah. And Brand Shield's not having a great time now.
Do you know what? You read my mind then, actually. I was sticking with that. So Brand Shield's the thing. Well, there's a seller in there. We talk about Gfinity as well, actually, because it's probably a crossover. Now, I don't know who the seller is. Now, we know the seller now was in Gfinity was John Story, right? And I'll defend John. Why? Very sharp investor. He had 40 million shares in the placing, right?
Wow.
That's at 1 pence. What's that? $400,000, right? So he took $400,000 in the placing. That's a big help for the company, because at the time the old legacy management was spending cash like crazy, and they were having hard to raise funds anymore. And then the old management was gone now. But with that come 40 million warrants. Okay, they are risk free. Don't pay for those at the get go. So they're just there. You have the right to buy those, to take those up if you want. So he just sold all his physical shares. He still has 40 million warrants. But look at the economics of warrants. It's amazing. So if you do a 5-bagger, which he has, you do a 10-bagger with warrants. And because let's say he sold those warrants now. So let's say you put a grand in, for example, at a penny, and it goes to 5 pence, right? So you've got $5,000 there. You sell those shares, all set shares, and then with a grand, just for a grand, you could double it again. You exercise your warrants at 1 pence again, and you've got another $5,000. That's amazing, yeah. Isn't it? And no risks. You know the share price has gone up. Previously, the risk you took, you didn't know whether the share price was going up and you didn't know whether warrants in the money. But so now he still owns, he's still got 40 million warrants there.
Yeah.
Which is 2 million quid.
He just sold them all at once, though. That was good.
Listen, John's he's keen on, he's an active investor. And sometimes everyone needs to free up a bit of cash. No matter how rich you are, you need to free up some cash. And when you've got 40 million shares and 40 million warrants, you think, where's the best place I can free up some cash? Is it, well, the warrants, isn't it? I can just hold on to the warrants. It's risk-free.
Yeah.
So
It'd be good to understand, though, what his thinking is around Gfinity now, whether he's as bullish as he was or...
No, I emailed him. He said, no, listen, I still like Gfinity. I've always got opportunities there, and he just wants to flip the cash for other investments. Now, the brand shields...
Has he gone into UOG? So you got United Oil and Gas?
No, he hasn't. No, no.
I think, you sure?
No, he's not into that, really.
Or Predator, maybe.
Yeah, no.
What is going on with Gfinity, though? When is this formal sale process? Because it's been going on for 3 years now.
Well, this deal, right? That's what's annoying. This deal, commercially, one of the biggest deals Gfinity's ever done. They're not allowed to say how much it's worth because it's with Konami, who's a big publisher. You know, they've got 10,000 employees. They do lots of games. They're huge. They turn over billions. You know, they're based in Japan. But this came about because of the formal sale process. This thing. So they can't. But they're not allowed to say what the money is. So it was an excellent deal. And then John dumped the stock, which is annoying because it should have that would have gone up like 20% easy. And do you know what? Gfinity will have one of those days where it'll do over 20%. It will happen sooner or later. It will happen. And the interims are coming up. I don't expect too much of the interims, but one of the best times ever to buy is after the interims. Why, Steve?
That's right.
I'm your father, Luke.
Go on.
Because it's after lunchtime, and that's when everyone does their interims.
That's it. Spot on.
Well,
spot again. See, Steve's on the money. That's it. No, interims, because there's the longest gap. When a company is going from a loss-making to profit-making, of course... All the reports they put out is historical, right? So you talk about, you know, until, like, this half year coming out now is, like, you know, 3 months old, more than that. So they've done a lot in 3 months. They've done one of the biggest deals ever, and they've continued to do deals. But when you put interims out, so after you don't have to, your interims say first half, but normally first half of the year is, say, starting from January to June the 30th, right? That's the first half. Then you've got 3 months in which to show those figures, to publish those figures, 3 months. So September, they'll come out. So then the finals come out. So say December, end of year, you've got 6 months to publish that. So now, after they do the interims, the finals, they won't have to publish any finals which until October, November, December time. So we've got 7 months now of no financial reports coming out. All it'll be is positive operational reports. So it's very bullish in that respect. So you don't get any figures come out at all now for another 7 months. So all it'll be is positive updates. So after the interims, you get, okay, maybe there's a lag in what you know about the business and actually what the money is coming through. So it may dip a little, but then buying after the interims is very good because you've got a long run-up of just good operational news, no financial news, you know? So that's why it's
pretty
good.
Pretty much what I says.
Say again? It's pretty much what you said, Steve. Yeah,
pretty much what I says.
Yeah.
About lunch and stuff, yeah.
So what was annoying is, and Gfinity will get past those highs, previous highs, 6 pence, and it'll go back up. It just needs to... You know,
right, but so in a similar vein to what we're talking about today is that, you know, it's patience, isn't it, again? So it's...
Yeah, brand shield, patience. Do you know what? I think John's in that. I don't know if he's selling that. I don't know who's selling that, but... it'll bounce, it'll find the seller will exhaust, and then all of a sudden, even small buys will push it up quite high, quickly, you know, very quickly. And so no point saying, oh, I'm just going to sell at the low now, because it's not overvalued at the moment, it's growing.
So, you know. Just going back to my thing, like, so I could have sold out of, like, the holding I had in Predator, I could have sold that a couple of months ago at, like, 4p, I'd be sat here going, oh, now it's 12p, and I could have gone into Brand Shield instead. And that could have dropped from 28p down to 20p, and I'd be saying, "Oh, right, I'll sell Brand Shield now. I'll move into something else because this isn't what you know." And you're just going, "It's a slippery slope," and it's no, just hold on.
Yeah.
Patience.
No, every stock will pop, you know, pretty much unless it's fraudulent or going in the wrong way. But I mean,
pop sounds wrong because pop sounds like it's going to pop and then drop. But
okay, rise,
break out.
Steve, turn your mic off because that your Darth Vader mic is catching us up, and we can hear our Darth Vader voices coming through your Darth Vader mic.
That's not me. I'm muted.
Who is it then, Paddy? Is it you? One, two.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Is it me? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think if it's a good business, and like I said, you know, at the last one on the admission document, they were generating cash, Branchfield. So it's a seller in there.
Yeah.
It's annoying because it's going to keep pushing the stock down. It's like almost like a convertible loan note, which is annoying. Convertible loan notes, someone asked me this in the group. They're generally, there's two things to convertible loan notes, right? If you go to a company and they loan you money and they can convert that into shares, it's good for the company in respect that they won't run out of cash, which for small companies is the most important thing, having cash. But what the problem is that person that company just got the convertible loan note off, they have no loyalty to the company. Their priority is to get the cash back at a premium, you know, with interest, basically. That's their business. They don't care about shareholders or the business. They want their money back and interest. So, for example, let's say they got this 90% thing that's happening with, what is it, Zoetix. Somebody asked about Zoetix. And I said, well, it's decent. They've got cash now, but it's going to put some pressure on the share price because they will sell those shares at 10% below the market rate all the time. So then it'll drop again, and you've got 15 million quid's worth of that happening, or even up to 35 million, I think the loan is up to. But constantly, that pressure, downward pressure on the share price, pushes the share price down because you can't compete with it, you know? There's not enough constant buyers to take out those sellers all the time. So say you got a share price of £1, they sell at 90 pence, a big chunk, it dips to, you know, around about that level, and then they sell at 10% below that again, and so that continues. It's constant drip, 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 drip of sellers, you know? And that's what's happened with, you know, Branchfield, that's what happened with Gfinity as well. It's like, so when you've got those sellers, when the seller's clear, it's almost like a cold spring. It bounces. So that will happen with Gfinity now. A good bit of good news. It may be after the interims or whatever, but it will bounce quickly and it'll re-rate, I think.
And so when are the interims for Gfinity?
Last year, they were end of this month, March. So it'll be 23rd, 25th, I think it was. So, yeah. And then October was the finals. But But, so be aware of interims and finals, especially for a company that's transitioning from loss-making to profit-making, because the financial reports will never be that impressive, at the start of a company, because they're in transition, but it'll get there. And so people will look at that, and you get all analysts or whatever who know nothing about the company who just look at it and say, oh, they're making a loss, that's not good, and that's it, you know, so it'll...
Because that could be a real drop opportunity.
Yeah. Anyway. But don't... You often see companies, though, pushing out some good news beforehand, you know?
Yes.
So that may rise. Net for net, again, it's hard to trade around that. It's hard to time it, isn't it? You may as well just say, if you like the business, and the business is improving, you are investing in a business. It's like I said on the webinar. Because it's a listed company, you see these shares gotten down. They're loosely related to the business, of course they are, but there's always a disconnect. It's like, if Steve's got a hairdresser as a business, and he's going gangbusters, you know, but it's not listed, and I invest in him, he said, just do lend some money to start off, and he's got people around the block queuing up for his Steve's hair.
What is that sound?
I don't know, what is that? It's one of you, it's Paddy.
I'm sat very, very still.
Right, no, put on mute a second. Go on, put on mute. Are you on mute? Yeah, yep. It's Paddy, isn't it? One,
no,
two, three. Steve, put on mute.
No, Steve's on mute.
I've been on constant mute, so it's not me.
I think it's the rattle, Steve, on your headphone.
Yeah, no, it's something. It's like echoing. The voice is echoing, and it's going. There's metallic sort of echo in the background off the voice. Mm. So it's one of you on speaker. I think it's too loud.
Really
is it?
Cool.
Turn your volumes down, boys. Volume down if you can. Volume down.
I've got headphones on, so it's not me.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
What was I saying there?
Right.
I don't know what I was saying then.
That's better now. I don't know.
What was I saying? I lost track. That was the end, was it? Thanks for listening to the podcast. No, what was that? What were we talking
about
then?
Strong finish there.
What were you talking about? Oh, yeah, Steve's hairdressers. Yeah.
Steve's hairdressers and investing in Steve's hairdressers.
So Steve's got this, he's pioneered this, you know, new haircut that everyone wants in Cardiff, right? So, oh, you've got a Steve, he's got a Steve cut. Yeah. And he's he's going around the block. And I've loaned him money here, right? And I go there and say, oh, look at Steve's business. I've got money, doing really well, really well, really well. So I can see the operations doing really well, right? But he's not listed to us. The share price is not going up and down, so I know it's going well. Now, because the share price is, you've got buyers and sellers there messing around with the stock all the time, selling, buying. The share price is going down. And it goes down. People start to worry about the business. Hang on, that's nothing to do with the business. We know the operation is getting better. It's improving. It's been profitable. They're getting more deals. There's a new manager in there. We know it's doing well. Don't worry about the share price too much. Think of the business. And people also look at charts. Charts are good to look at all the time, but it's not the business. The most important thing of all is the business. And I say to anyone, if you've got an hour to research a stock, for example, you should be spending 50 minutes of that hour reading the RNSs on trading updates, interims, financials, and then 10 minutes maybe looking at the chart and looking at the stuff.
Yeah.
But that should be the thing. Look at the business itself. You're investing in a business.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There are very few half-decent businesses below 10 million, 20 million market cap. But when you find one, it's worth researching because they can go gangbusters. And sustainable rises, I mean, because there's a lot of crap at that level, you know, that don't do anything, will never generate any money, ever. But once you find one, it's like a diamond in the rough there, and it's worth doing. I found one, actually, another one. Apart from the one I'm going to release, the Share Investment Club, of course, there's a video up there, my recent investment. It's not public knowledge yet. It's just for the club members. They've got a month exclusivity. There's a stock in there already that I've looked at. I found another one. It's a small cap. It needs a bit more time because they've got some results coming out as well. I just want to see where they are. I just want to hear them say that. I think they're very close now to becoming profitable. I just want to hear them say it, or some kind of, you know, lead into that in some way. But it's good. It's a very hot trending area. And if the results come out, which is towards the end of this month, and they are good, and the sounds are right, and it's looking good, the post period is good, then I think I'll do a video on it and I'll start investing in it. But I want to see that first, you know. I'm trying to be more disciplined about, rather than just jumping straight in. Because that's very easy to do. But because there's plenty of opportunities out there, you know. Loads of them out there if you research them. But one of the most important things is getting the right price. You may have a company there you've looked at, it ticks all the boxes, but it's not the right price, or the share price has risen, or there's something else wrong with it. You've just got to wait a bit of time in. So just got to put them on a watch list, that's all. Put them on a watch list.
Let's have a word about very quick word, because I know very few people probably investing in it, but C4XD is an interesting one with this this guy from Harry Potter investing. Like, he's now bought a quarter of the company, which seems crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know what you meant when you kept saying the guy from Harry Potter, right? You were doing this on WhatsApp.
It's not the guy from Harry Potter.
No, but I didn't get the joke. And then Pete posted a picture of Richard Harris, the fat actor.
Richard Griffiths, sorry.
It's not actually a guy from Harry Potter, then.
I thought it was Ron Weasley for some reason. I thought Ron Weasley had got investing, and he was in C4XD or something. Yeah. And then Richard Griffiths, you put a picture of Richard Griffiths on the WhatsApp group.
Who is sadly no longer with us.
Mm.
Yeah, so just to clarify that.
I thought exactly the same thing. I was thinking Ron as well, to be fair.
Then you did a question and answer but then you did a question and answer session with dead Richard Harris picture on the WhatsApp group saying, I don't know what I'm doing, actually, because I'm dead. I'm a bit volatile with my investing. But Richard Griffiths is quite a well-known small-cap investor. He's a fund manager, and he's quite sharp. But he's increasing his holding, isn't he, and to, like, 20-odd%, isn't it?
He's up to 23% now, I think, yeah.
So when you get over 20%, you've got to make an offer for the company, you know?
Over 30%, isn't it?
I think it's 20, yeah.
No, it's 30.
30, yeah. Famously
30.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, he'd have made an offer for the company. You know,
no, but he may have. He may be speaking to them and saying, listen, I know I've gone over the threshold, but I'm not going to make an offer. I just want to be a big shareholder because I've gone mad. Because I don't know, everyone else is selling, but I'm buying.
What does he know that it's a very strange company?
This is the thing. Paddy said on the WhatsApp group, I'm going to buy some more C4XD. That Richard Griffiths must know something. No, this is the thing. They don't know. If you had insider knowledge, right, significant news, you can get arrested and locked up. So you wouldn't jeopardise. He's got a good life, I assume. He's quite well off. He's not going to jeopardise his life and his living just to get some inside knowledge. So, you know, maybe he's done a lot of research and he thinks at this level they've got a lot of cash. You know, that risk is off the table. They haven't released any significant news for a while. In fact, what's happened with that news on that trial, clinical trial? Did it come out or not? No.
It's coming out in December 2020.
Yeah.
No, the end of the trial was a thing, wasn't it?
That was when it was talked about. That's the last I heard. Yeah. But I mean, with Richard Griffiths, I don't know his net worth, but his current holding in C4XD is around the 20 million mark now. So I don't know what that is in relation to his overall portfolio. But I mean, however rich you are, that's quite a chunk of money. Just, and like Paddy says, to be putting in a company that, is generating no revenue at the moment. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? He must, I would hope, know what he's doing. I don't know. We'll see.
There must have been something that sparked his interest and made him get to that sort of level, surely. Because he's now in the realms of, you know, place on the board and...
Is he buying off other... Because Polar Capital have gone down from 15 to 13%, who else is it? Richard Griffiths and Controlled Undertakings, St. Helier Jersey. He's got a 23.9 from 22.8. Who else has gone down? Someone else has gone down. So Octopus Investments, they've gone down... from 3% to nothing. So they've gone to nothing. So there's others selling, he's buying. Unless he's buying theirs. Maybe he's buying theirs.
It'd be fascinating to talk to him, wouldn't it? I'd just love to know kind of what he...
He's on the podcast.
Yeah, come on.
Richard Griffiths was appointed chairman of Sorosa on the 1st December 2011. He had a long funding investment in Evolution Group. Okay, So, 250 membership. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. Ask him. Say, Rich, is there anything there? You can contact him at Sorosa and say, Richie boy, what's happening?
Yeah. What's the story?
Is he on... City's toughest player. It's got it. It's chairman. The city's toughest player? This is in Money Week.
That was 2005.
That's 2005, Every so often, a city firm comes along and makes waves, subject to numerous headlines, not all of them good. But Evolution, So I don't know. Who knows? You know, maybe it's for them. 20 million is not a lot for a fund. You know, maybe it's not that much.
I don't know how he found time to do the Harry Potter films.
Well, he's just on the phone, isn't he? There's a lot of takes. Why is it takes? Yeah, just buy me some more C4XD, yeah? Okay, cheers. Sorry, Harry, I'll be there now.
Ron.
What else was I going to say? Something else I want to talk about. Do you see, I think I said, I tweeted out, go big or go home, Joe Biden, $1.9 trillion. That's the way to do it. Every American gets $1,400. That's probably more than the pay rise. Well, it is more than the pay rise, the 1% pay rise. The NHS staff go over here and they work for it. So I'm thinking, I do think that the government would be backward on just give them a pay rise. If you overpay, you make people want to work for the NHS. If it's good pay, people want to work there. It'll be the best service in the world. So make it, attractive.
They're ideologically against that, aren't they? They're very much dead set against that being the case.
From a sheer popularity, PR perspective, just do it, because it's like you can see what's going to happen.
If you want to shoot yourself in the foot, you're doing very well here, guys. You've shot both your feet off, and now you're going for legs. What are you doing? Just say 1%. They're going independent group now. Going to look at it and say, just check up 5%.
The population as a whole will look at the 37 billion or whatever that went on Test and Trace. Well, divert attention away from that and go, hey, we're going to give you a 5% pay rise. All these,
Well, that's what I find startling about that is having run some departments where you're running a big budget and...
Darth is back.
Say again?
Darth is back.
Mr. Vader's back.
Darth, give it a rest. Where sometimes you get the opportunity to take a bit of cash from one area of the company and you can sort of recycle that within your budget to give it to an area where you'd like to spend some money, but you're not allowed to. So if you want to give someone a pay rise, you can sort of take on a bit of extra work through the business and then give them some extra shifts or something so they get a bit of extra cash or whatever. So you can be clever with your budget. So if there was £37 billion going spare, it would have been really simple to have diverted that into the NHS budget, and rather than paying all these consultants £1,000 a day or whatever, you just get the NHS people to do it, and you get them to do a couple of extra shifts. Everyone wins. Suddenly, there's a bit more cash flowing through the NHS, which helps everyone out. Just seems like a really stupid bit of economics not to have done that.
I know what you do. This is a guy people shouting. Privatise it and give everyone shares. Every nurse share, that's a non-cash issue. They get rich,
and then you end up with America. Jesus, I was just over there, and the adverts on TV, literally every single one of them, are for drugs, and they go on for about 5 minutes each, and everyone is in this state of terror because of the amount of adverts that they see for drugs.
What kind of drugs?
It's just like normal medicine, like stuff that you would normally just get here for free. Obviously over there it's on top of your insurance. So they're all like saying, well, if you take this drug, then that was going to prevent you from getting this thing down the line, which means that you won't have to use your insurance. Like people were paying like 10, 15 grand a year just for health insurance. So, I mean, it's a massive false economy to take it out of public hands. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, do you see, talking about drugs, right? Is it odd? Do you see that story? You're into cycling, Pete. That story, right? This is, I'm going to read this out here. I find this hilarious, because, not hilarious, because it's good, but ex-British cycling and Team Sky chief doctor, Richard Freeman, right, has been found guilty, of ordering banned testosterone in 2008, knowing or believing it was a dope for unnamed rider. But he said, right, he was bullied into ordering the drug by former British cycling and Team Sky performance director Shane Sutton to treat his erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
And Shane said, I didn't want it for, I've got nothing on my winky. He's like, he's lying. So that excuse he's made up there, he told me to order it for him because he can't get it hard on. That's an odd excuse, isn't it, to make up? Yeah. When actually it was for a cyclist to improve performance.
Yeah, that was played out in the inquiry like last year. They actually they were talking about that.
Imagine if it's not true that Shane Sutton there in public, everyone he can't get an erection. Mate, I can get an erection. he's lying. I'll show you. I'll prove it to anyone. Yeah, I will stand up in court literally and show you. But I think literally, but that's really odd, isn't it? And I thought it's an odd story. The excuse he's used there is a good one because it's embarrassing. And anyway, TV recommendations, guys. I still think go with Your Honour. It's very good. Your Honour is a play on words. He's a judge in that, and there's also the Mafia, so it's good. Also worth watching. It's quite heavy though.
Is that on Netflix or is that on?
It's on Sky Atlantic. It's very good. It's Brian Cranston from Breaking Bad. Okay. Another one worth watching is China, A New World Order on BBC. They are evil. Don't do anything with China. They're going to kill us all.
Okay. Nice.
I'm not joking. If you look at the level of corruption around the world, how they bring small countries into debt traps like Sri Lanka and they own their ports, they're just basically buying up the world, silently, secretly, getting away with it, locking up people.
I don't think we're in a position to start calling out other countries for being corrupt at the moment, to be honest.
Paddy, you've got to watch this documentary. You would not believe it, what they're doing, taking kids away from their parents because they're wrong religion, and all that, and in re-education centres, torturing them.
What program is this?
It's called China, A New World Order, Steve. China, A New
Gosh,
World Order. Yeah,
and come back to life.
It's it says that you're very close to that mic, Steve. It's like we got breathing in. What program's this? It's like someone right in your ear. China, A New World Order. It's worth looking at. Honestly, it's phenomenal. They're doing it very quietly.
What channel is that on?
It's on BBC iPlayer, but honestly, check it out, and you realise it's quite scary, because we will not have the power to deal with them very soon. They're already big, we can't deal with them now. But soon, it'll have to be the rest of the world against China to stop them doing what they're doing. It's really scary.
I sort of think that like the West has had its way for quite a while, though, and we've sort of screwed things up.
Yeah, but so they're nothing compared to, honestly.
Maybe it's time to just,
No. When everyone's thinking that Kim Jong-un and all that stuff was the evil one with the bombs, No. These guys are doing it very quietly, and literally, they own you. You don't know it, but they own you. They own all the they own all the debt in the world. They own all the debt. People owe them all money, American debt, everything. It's worrying.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. There's a new series of MasterChef on.
Thanks, buddy. I've got to say, your TV recommendations have not been tip-top, to be honest.
I've never been a fan of MasterChef.
MasterChef and Holmes and the Hammer and all that stuff, No,
I don't watch Holmes and the Hammer.
You did. You said once, if a nuclear bomb went off, you said, and you had about 10 minutes or an hour, you said, well, I'd finally get round to watching those last few episodes of Holmes Under the Hammer.
And the pottery throwdown or whatever.
That's good. That's really good. Although they keep on throwing off the best contestants.
Right.
That's always the way.
A little bit of a flaw in their
That was the same with Big Brother. The ones that created all the fun, excitement and controversy were voted off because people hated them.
The ones who
push
the boundaries a bit get thrown off because they've gone a little bit too far, which means you just get left with dirge at the end.
Yeah, Nasty Nick, exactly. I mean, it should have been kept in there because he was the one creating the entertainment. But the exciting ones.
But it's the final of that this Sunday, guys, so, I know you'll be tuning in.
Of what?
The pottery show.
I don't care about pottery.
I like TV that you don't have to pay attention to. That's my thing.
Well, just watch that China thing. It's not.
It sounds like you have to pay attention to that.
Yeah, you do, but it's honestly scary. We need to do something. I don't know what we need to do, but it's worrying.
What would screw over the Chinese if you really wanted to, and that's sort of ending capitalism.
That would screw over a lot of people, Pat, though. It's like shooting your head off, isn't it, to say, you can't have this last bullet, I've got it, and I shoot my head off.
But they're thriving on our just want and need to buy stuff. So if we just calm that down a little bit, then the planet will probably be better off, and
there we are.
Probably be a bit more of an equal society.
Send him an email, Pad. There we are. Right. Awesome. Anything else? Steve, you've been a hot picker with TV recommendations.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, Your Honour was my big one this week.
That was mine. You can't
well, no,
that.
I know that, but that's what I got. I think I completed the whole season in like one evening.
That's good, yeah.
The Terror on iPlayer is supposed to be very good. I've not watched it yet, but I've had two recommendations for that now.
Well, there we are. Finally, it comes in with it. Pete, have you going to recommend anything ever on TV?
No.
I would recommend the 10 o'clock news. Very good, every night, different stories.
I thought you'd recommend the Six Nations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, Wales, here we are. Italy did it. Do you know what? I wouldn't put it past Wales now to lose against Italy.
What a joke this season's been.
Hasn't been a joke. It's been excellent, excellent. Who would have thought it? Who would have bet on it? It's had everything. Talk about TV recommendations. The drama, the upset, intrigue.
Some dodgy red cards.
Some excellent Welsh playing of rugby. And on that, guys, have a nice weekend. And
You too.
We'll speak you next week. See you next week, Darth.
Bye, Mr. Vader.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.